It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it's time for us to talk hunting and fishing, the outdoors, as we do this time every week. You know, our topics range from squirrel hunting to hunting wild hogs to turkey hunting to catching bass at Lake Fork to shark down on the coast. We also talk a whole lot of outdoor cooking. Many of you know through my outdoor columns that I love to cook outdoors, and I've written a lot of outdoor stuff that I learn a lot. And I tell you what, I learn a lot from people like Mr. Obi Obermark, who's our next guest. Now, Obi makes OBQ. It's a rubs. I actually discovered this on a hog hunt, and I think I might have written about it in the local newspapers. But a guy down there had some OBQ rub. I don't remember the particular type, but he put it on some we actually had about a 40-pound pig. And he cooked, barbecued that, smoked it, cut in half, and he used some of this rub. And I tell you what, it's the best that I've ever tried, called OBQ. Well, guess what? Mr. Obermark is with us. Obi, thank you for spending some time with us, buddy.
Oh, my great pleasure.
I tell you what, this rub is awesome stuff. But I've done a little research, and it's not just rubs for pork only that you make. You've got a whole line of things, and you're also a champion barbecuer. The Jack Daniel's Invitational up in, where is that thing
held?
Lynchburg, that's right. You competed in that. You've been all over barbecuing, haven't you?
I hit a few licks in my time. I'm retired from competition now, but in my day, I was a nationally ranked cook.
You bet. Well, that's what we want to talk about is I want to pick your brain. I'm an amateur barbecue cooker and meat smoker myself, and I bet a lot of our listeners are also. But I do know this. I know this much. You have to have some quality seasonings. I mean, you really do to give flavor, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what Mr. Obi's all about is getting the blends that add to probably some for pork and some for beef, right?
Righto. And it's not just the flavor, Luke. Rubs help you in a number of ways. They help keep the meat moist, too. If you will cook the meat with rub on it, it gives you a little bit of protection. Sometimes like the high sugar content rubs like you had on your pork, they melt down, they form a glaze on the surface of the meat that acts as a moisture barrier and helps keep the juice in it. It's particularly important when you're cooking things like game that don't have as much fat on them as, commercial meats do.
True. You know, I never thought about that or knew that, but it makes sense. A rub, I guess it would more or less caramelize, right, when it gets hot?
It does. As you're cooking, it caramelizes. But the main thing it does is it just disrupts the moisture from escaping the meat and helps keep the moisture in it. You know, when that pig is walking around, it's almost two-thirds water. So the meat has plenty of moisture in it. You're not trying to – you don't really need to add any moisture to it. You just need to hang on to what – it starts with, and rubs do you a lot of good on that.
I guess that's one of the most common things when people are barbecuing or even smoking meats, you know, is allowing it to dry out. Say, for instance, Obi, you're going to – say we have some old pork ribs, and you're gonna cook them. You want them to be tender and flavorful, and they will be when you get through with them. But kind of walk us through how you prepare them and how you cook them.
Well, if I was going to do ribs, I would season them. Actually, I would give them. We will eventually give two applications of rub, but I'm going to start off seasoning them moderately. Just give enough of a coating of rub to completely cover the surface of the meat, but not a thick coat. You actually should be able to see the grain of the meat through the coat of rub. And I'll let that sit for a while. If I've got enough time, I'll let them sit for a couple of 3 hours. I'll throw them back in the fridge and just put some Saran over it and give that rub a chance to penetrate the meat. That's one of the great advantages of working with rubs, is you're not trying to put flavor on meat, you're trying to put flavor in meat. Giving it some time to penetrate helps a lot. So I'll let it sit for, a couple hours if I can. Then I'm going to put that on a low fire. I prefer around 250, 250 to 275 on commercial meat. On wild stuff, I'm going to dial that back a little bit to like 225 to 250. And I'll give it 2-3 hours of smoke. You should cook them till the meat starts to draw a little bit. You start seeing a little bit of bone tip. Mm-hmm. When you see about a quarter of an inch of bone tip on your rib bone, then you know that the meat has heated enough that it's starting to shrink a little bit. At that point, I'm going to pull it off the fire, lay it on a big sheet of foil. I'm going to season it again, actually a little heavier this time. And add just a splash of moisture for a full side of ribs, maybe a quarter of a cup, maybe even a little bit less. Something like apple juice, something fairly neutral. Water would work. Then I'm going to seal it in the foil, seal it real well. If I'm out in the field, you just put it back on your fire and keep that at that 225 to 250 or 250 to 275, depending, you know, on whether it's game or commercial meat. If I'm at home, well, at that point, once you wrap it in foil, you ain't getting any more smoke to it. So I'll just stick it in the oven and kind of no-brain it.
Mm-hmm.
And you cook it until you can pick that rack up in the middle and it'll sag. And when it starts drooping real good, that's tender. And at that point, pull it out, open the foil, let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes and just kind of calm down. Because if you cut it right away, you're going to lose too much juice. Cooking the meat is very disruptive on the meat. And what happens with it is all the moisture tries to get away from the heat. So it's kind of shifting around inside mm-hmm. the meat there when you're actually cooking it. If you let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes and rest, well, then it calms down and all the juices go back to where they're supposed to be. Then when you cut it, you keep the juice in the meat and not on your plate.
Which makes for that juicy rib.
Gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, the stuff, if you'll get some fluid in the foil. Keep that.
Yep.
I pour that stuff off and let the fat rise a little bit and skim that fat off. And what's left is the best darn table sauce in the world, because you ain't putting sauce on it. All you're doing is putting the stuff that originally came out of the meat back on it.
Yeah, man, I tell you, we may have to cut this show a little short here, OB, and fire up the pit, man.
You're getting hungry, Luke.
I am, buddy. Let's think about this. Let me tell you, I hunt a lot. We outfit for elk, bear, and deer up in northern Colorado, and I hunt hogs and deer and turkeys and you name it. I hunt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I cook a lot of game.
Mm-hmm.
The wild hog, say, for instance, tell me if I might be doing something, maybe using one of your methods and getting a better deal. But say you have a 6-pound hog ham, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I usually cut the lower shank off. Basically, what I do is kind of like you said, with lower temperatures, like you're using the leaner game.
Mm-hmm.
I rub it and then smoke it for a couple of hours and then wrap it. But I use, I guess it depends on what kind of a unit you're cooking on, but I use the electric smoker. I've been using those for years. I've cooked a lot on wood too, Obie. But in this, what I'll usually do is get an aluminum pan and set it down, and then wrap heavy-duty foil, wrap that ham after it's smoked 3 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll usually, now it's going to be dry. You just put that rascal out on a grill, it would dry out, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yeah.
It'd be too dry. So I've got it, and I'll usually add a little barbecue sauce. Like I like, like you said, moisture.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could have used apple juice just as well, right?
Yeah, apple juice, it's not a real strong flavor, and it just sort of, you know, it's what I would call neutral. It,
mm-hmm.
it has a little bit of sweetness to it,
mm-hmm.
It seems to work better than water, but it's something that harmonizes real well with a lot of different flavors. And remember, when you're smoking, the flavor of the smoke itself is fairly bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke tends to be a tad acrid,
mm-hmm.
and bitter. And as a result, if you're using something with a little bit of sweetness to it, that helps balance that and gives you that really nice flavor. It's like you don't want to drink lemon juice, but lemonade is really good.
Mm, exactly.
So you balance it a little bit.
Well, that's I may start experimenting. I will with a little apple juice.
I do one other step with a ham, being a very large piece of meat. It's hard to get flavor into it, and my thing is getting flavor into the ham. I will actually split the ham, you know, just
mm-hmm.
on either side of the bone as best you can. You can leave the bone in or pull it out, whichever one you want. It'll cook faster if you pull the bone out. And I season all sides of the ham, and I'll put the two halves on the smoker and smoke it for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then you pull it off the fire, reassemble the two halves, and tie it.
Yep, yep.
Now you have a layer of smoke and spice right in the middle.
Yeah, look, that's what I will do with my next. Very easy to cut one down the middle and remove the bone. Very simple.
It not much.
Obi, we need to do another show soon down the road and talk some more outdoor cooking because we're almost out of time on this one. The main thing I appreciate, I've picked up some good tips. This ham, cutting it in half, removing the bone, I'll be doing that the next time I cook a wild hog ham for sure.
Oh, that's bulletproof, man.
And if you wanted to, you could probably put a little bacon in between them and then sandwich them together and wrap them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You could even do that. But there's a lot of ways variables when it comes to outdoor cooking. I guess it's like you and I were kidding each other before the show. It's not rocket science.
It ain't.
It ain't rocket science.
But by the way, one last step. After a total of about 3 hours of smoke, wrap the ham in foil.
Yep.
And finish it in foil.
That's it. Don't get it overly smoked.
Right.
Would you mind doing this, Obi? Leave the website. I know there's a lot of good information on your website that'll help a lot of our listeners with their cooking. Yeah.
The website is obiq.com. That is obiecue.com, all small, all together. And there's recipes. We have our suggestions. In suggested uses, one of the things we do cover is game.
Awesome, Obi. We'll get you back real soon, and we're going to talk some more outdoor cooking, okay?
Outstanding, Luke.
Well, folks, that pretty much wraps up our show today. I appreciate you being with us. Today's show has been made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. Snaplock Hunting Blinds. The website is snaplockhuntingblinds.com. Sniper Hog Lights. That's Sniper, H-A-W-G, lights.com. The Raptor Razor, which is the tool for skinning and butchering game animals. That website is R-A-P-T-O, raptorrazor.com. Night Sight, a unit for hunting hogs at night. That website is nightsightusa.com. NITESITEUSA.com. Darton Archery, makers of compound bows and crossbows. That's dartonarchery.com. And of course, Catfish Radio, where I do a weekly hour-long hunting and fishing show. That's catfishradio.com. Folks, tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.